You know, as we said earlier, today is a special day. It's our connection fair. After the service, we encourage you to go out. One of the ways to serve is going on a missions team. You're going to find and discover out in the courtyard that there are multiple ways that we can serve and get to know and help others in their walk with God. You know, one of the, our vision statement here is very simple. It simply says this: we want to make Jesus famous by helping people connect, grow, and serve. We want to make Jesus known because the Bible tells us when we lift Jesus up, people are going to be drawn to him. He draws people to himself. And so we make him famous by helping people connect, grow, and serve. And I just want to talk just for a minute about what we mean by that, because today is obviously an important day for us, or a strategic day for us. So let's unpackage this just for a minute. What do we mean by connect? When we say we're helping people connect, grow, and serve, it's very simple. We're trying to help people connect to God. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with God. We want people to come to know the Lord. We want people to come back to the Lord if you've been wandering away from him, or going deeper with God. We're here to help people connect to God. We're here to help people connect to the family of faith. We need each other. And just as we heard this morning from that young gal who went down to Urban Hope, when she started attending church, she didn't really know anybody, but she got connected through different ways. And now she feels a part of a team here. We want you to feel connected to the family of God. We also want to help you connect with people in the community, someone at your school, someone at your work, someone that you live next door to, maybe a family member that's kind of drifted off. We know that God wants to use you to make Jesus famous by connecting with people in relationships. So when we say connect to God, or when we say the word connect, we just simply mean connect to God, connect to your faith community, connect to someone in your neighborhood. When we say the word grow, by the word grow, we simply mean three simple things as well. We need to grow in our knowledge of his truths. We need to grow in our understanding of the message that he gave to us. So, and there's a lot of opportunities around here to get to know the truths of God's word, knowledge. But knowledge left unto itself just makes us prideful. The Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be what? Doers of the word. It doesn't do us any good if we just learn knowledge. In fact, it can actually be detrimental to us because we can tend to become prideful by saying, oh, I know more than you, or I'm right in this biblical truth and you're not right. So we need to shift not only from knowledge, but to wisdom. And wisdom means I take the knowledge of God's word and I apply it to my parenting. I apply it to my relationships. I apply it to my job. I apply it to my siblings. I apply it to my finances. I apply it to how I see the world. I apply it to how I have relationships with people that don't yet know the Lord. So we move from knowledge to wisdom. And the third component of the word grow is growing in your capacity to trust and obey. Sometimes when disease comes, sometimes when relationships fall apart, sometimes when there's more month than money, We are tested in our faith. James chapter 1 says that sometimes there's trials in our faith. And part of the capacity to grow, to endure difficult things, and stay true to God and to his word. So we grow in our capacity to stand strong. We love the verse that Paul writes to us in the book of Colossians where it says, our faith needs to be deeply rooted and established. Which means when things are going good, it's easy to follow God. But when things are not going good, how rooted am I? Do I have the capacity to hang tough and to trust and obey? So that's what we mean by grow. By the word serve, which is the word we're focusing on this morning, the word serve also has three components because we have to have three for every one of them. The word serve has to do with nurturing someone else's spiritual growth. Can you remember in your life the names of the people that helped you grow in your walk with God? In my life, it would be a guy named Rick, who came alongside when I was a high schooler. And he was just a guy that worked construction, happened to go to our church. It was another guy named Ed, who really showed me how to serve the Lord. These are people that God brought into my life to help me in my spiritual growth. And all of us, as we've walked with God, have had people come into our life, and that is a strategy that God uses to help us grow. And when we say serve, we want to flip that around and ask the question, who are you nurturing to help their walk with God? And so when we talk about this, we're going to talk about it in a minute. We talk about weekly spiritual meals. Am I engaged in spiritual meals where I'm really eating, connecting, and growing? And I'm engaged in a spiritual meal where I'm serving someone else the spiritual food to help them grow. It doesn't mean I have to lead a Bible study. It doesn't mean I have to know everything about the Bible. But am I helping someone grow in their walk with God? Service also means that I can be involved in a faith community or in a faith-building project, which means that there are lots of great ways, not just in our church, but around the world, to get involved in helping build the faith project. You can get involved in something in our community, something in our church that helps someone else grow. And then finally, we talk about assisting someone foreign to us. I'm so proud of our church. A couple of weeks ago, we held our national convention right here in Auburn, and about 30 or so families opened up their homes to allow people from our national fellowship to come into town and save some money by staying in your homes. And those folks were from the Midwest and the East Coast, and they were what? Foreigners to us. It's a different culture, isn't it? Some of you had like Midwesterners or Easterners, and it's like, wow, these aren't California folks. And believe me, I've been in their homes, and they think we're just as strange as we think they're different than us. I'm so proud of our church. Last week, we had a group of high school students from Japan visiting with us, and they did a concert for us on Wednesday night, and several of you opened their homes to have these young students stay with you, assisting someone foreign to you. If you want to do a fascinating study in your Bible, just do a study on the word stranger, and you'll get a glimpse into what God feels in his heart about strangers in the land of Israel. He loves them, and he wants to care for them and show them his love. So that's what we mean by serve. Now, where do we get these three ideas, connect, grow, and serve? We didn't just make these words up. We didn't just make these concepts up. We got them right out of the Bible, because the part of the great gift that we've been given is the Bible, and it shows us how we should do things to make God famous. And so I'm in one of the passages that talks about this whole idea of service. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or open your Bible apps. Your Bible's divided into two parts, right? The stuff before Jesus is about two-thirds of your Bible, the first two-thirds, that's called the Old Testament. The stuff from Jesus forward is the last third of your Bible, called the New Testament. I'm in the New Testament, about five or six books into the New Testament. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 12. And Paul wrote this letter to a group of people just like you who are trying to follow Jesus, but they lived in the first century Roman culture, and they grew up with all kinds of craziness going around, and now they want to follow the Lord, and they are going to learn that you are gifted to serve. You are gifted to serve. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are gifted to serve. Tell them that. Now, Paul has been asked by this church in Corinth to answer some of their questions. And one of their questions was, Paul, when you said the term spiritual gifting, what did you mean by it? You were here with us a couple years ago. You talked about spiritual gifts. We're trying to figure out, can you explain it more? So in chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. So he's answering their question. What is this spiritual gifting stuff all about? Now, Paul knew that when he wrote those words, spiritual gift, all kinds of bells and whistles were going to go off in the minds of the people in the first century, because they had come out of all kinds of crazy pagan rituals and ceremonies, and spiritual gift in the first century included a lot of moderate stuff that was really healthy and a lot of crazy stuff. There was stuff like oracles giving strange messages that you would listen to. There were idols that would talk and give messages to the people. And there were these ceremonies where you'd work yourself up into a frenzy and you would declare the things of God. And Paul knew that when he said spiritual gifts, they were going to reflect on all of those times. So in verse 2, he wants to give them some instructions, and he says this: you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. In other words, when you were engaged in those Greek and Roman religious ceremonies, when it came to spiritual gift, how God works in you and how God's work, how the gods work through you, I want you to understand what you grew up with is not exactly what I'm talking about. I read this week that one of the rituals in the ancient world was this huge statue of the god Isis, goddess Isis. And Isis would give a message to the people. And everybody would gather around and the big idol would speak a message from the gods. Well, when archaeology discovered this huge idol, they noticed it had a little back door behind the back of it and some stairs. And the priest would climb in and call out through the mouth of the idol the message from God. And so Paul says, hey, before we get into this discussion, I know the background that you have, so let me just give you a little litmus test. How do we know whether spiritual gifts are authentic or not authentic? Let me give you this, the litmus test, he says, here in verse 3. He says in verse 3, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, spiritual gifts are to promote Jesus. People cannot say, I have a message from God, and then declare Jesus to be accursed. That's not a message from God. And so Paul says, I want you to set aside all of those crazy ceremonies and rituals, and I want to put this spiritual gift topic in a box, and here's the box. The spiritual gifts where God works in us and through us is all about making Jesus famous. Jesus is Lord. That's how the Spirit of God works. That's the first thing that he tells them. Then he tells them in verses 4 to 6 that spiritual gifting is part of God's community strategy. I love this. How in the world are we supposed to use the spiritual gifts that God puts into the lives of people? Look there in verse 4. If you like to underline words in your Bible, here's some words to underline. Verse 4, now there are a variety of what? Gifts. So underline the word gifts. But the same Spirit. There are varieties of what? Ministries. Underline the word ministries. And the same Lord. There are varieties of what? Effects. And the same God who works all things in all persons. So what you have here is you have gifts, ministries, effects. You see that? And these are put in consecutive order, I believe. Because when God puts gifts into a group of people, that group of people takes the gifts that are within them that God puts there, they organize them into ministry teams, and they serve, and that has effects. And people grow in their walk with God. You see that in that passage? You take the gifts, you organize them into ministry teams, and they have effects of helping people grow. So the question is, what gifts has God given to our church family? Because if we can understand what gifts he's given to us, we can put those gifts into ministry teams, and we can have effective ways of helping people grow in their walk with God. This is why different churches have different impacts on the community. Some churches have a lot of the gift of evangelism. And that church is always talking about, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Why? Because God has put a bunch of evangelistic gifts in their church. They've organized them into teams, and they see a huge effect of people that don't know Jesus coming to know Jesus. So that church has its mission. Another church might have a large amount of teaching gifts in their church. So they have strong Bible studies because they take those teaching gifts and they organize them into ministries and people grow. And you go, oh, I go to that church and man, I just get the word of God. And they just talk about people getting saved. And the reason that the Holy Spirit does that is because there's people in our town that need to know Jesus that don't know him. And so God might lead them there. There are people in our town that want to grow in their knowledge and they need something different. So here's the strategy. Find out what gifts are here. Put them into ministry teams and watch them have an effect in helping people grow. Paul says spiritual gifts are the strategy to help us grow. You have a gift inside of you. I have a gift inside of me. And if we are willing to work together, we can really nurture each other's spiritual growth. Look at verse 7. This is a great verse. But to each one is given. Uh-oh. What does it say there? To who? Each one. It's not that God just dumps gifts on a group of church people. It's not that God is dumping his gifts on your family. It says very clearly here that each, who? Each one of you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have been given a spiritual gift. And a spiritual gift is not a natural talent that you were born with. It's not a skill that you've developed. It is a spiritual gift purposely put in your life to help other people grow in their walk with God. Look at verse 7. It says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. They are individually assigned by the Holy Spirit. The word manifest there simply means something you couldn't see, now you can see. It's like when you go into a dark room, you can't see. You turn the light switch on, and all of a sudden, the room is manifested to you. You couldn't see it, and now you can. We all know that God works in us, and we want God to work through us. And the God's Spirit does his work in us by challenging us and growing us. But if I want to see God's work in my life, it's got to come out of me so that you can see it. And how we serve each other with spiritual gifts is how my relationship with God becomes visible to you. And how it helps you. It becomes manifest to you. But you'll also notice the end of verse 7. It says, to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the who? For the common good. Huh, what does that mean? For the common good. It means that my spiritual gift is not for me. Your spiritual gift is not for you. It's not for your family. It's for us. It's for the common good. I think I have the gift of teaching, and so I could, if I really wanted to, I could prepare some awesome sermons and stand in the front room, look in the mirror, and just preach them right to myself. And I'd be impressed with the speaker and his outline. It would just be awesome. But it would be useless. It'd be useless for us to use our gifts for ourselves. It's how God strategically puts people together to help each other grow. So you have something inside of you that God has put there, and if you will activate it, you'll actually be an influential person in someone else's spiritual life. You'll be to someone what Rick was to me. You'll be to someone what Ed was for me. And so he tells us here, the Holy Spirit is so brilliant, he can actually gather people together and put them in churches so that there's gifts that are organized into ministries so that Auburn Grace can have the effect that he wants it to have. Does that make sense? If you're at Auburn Grace, even if it's just for a season, watch this, you are strategically put here. We're going to see that in just a second. Look there in verse 8. For one is given the word of knowledge. Now he's going to list some of the gifts of the Spirit. There's about 19 or 20 of them in the Bible. There's going to be a list, a short list of some of them right here. Look at the diversity. To one person is given the word of knowledge through the Spirit. That's a spiritual gift, the word of knowledge. To another, I'm sorry, the word of wisdom, verse 8. To another, the word of what? Knowledge, according to the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another, faith. By the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. By the same Spirit. To another, effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. You notice the word another? Which means we all don't have the same gift. That God, the Holy Spirit, has put one, something in you, and something different in them, and something different in her, and something different in her. God has orchestrated the distribution of these spiritual gifts to people that he wants. Let's go down there to verse 11, and let's wrap up this particular point. Now, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. Here it is, distributing to each one. And what's the word there? Individually. So again, it's not a family thing. And then this verse wraps up, just as he wills. Watch this. The Holy Spirit is brilliant enough to say, I want to make Jesus famous in Auburn. Because remember, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to glorify me. So the Holy Spirit's job is to make Jesus famous. And the way, part of the way that the Holy Spirit does that is by giving God's people gifts and organizing them in local faith communities so that they can have gifts, ministries, and effects that will then reach people in their community so that people will follow Jesus. Which tells us this, if you're here, you are strategically put here. And you know why you are strategically put at Auburn Grace at this time? You ready? To give us money. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. I love it. Same thing happened in the last service. Everybody's like, oh, why am I here? Give us money. That's why you're here. No. What he's talking about here, if you're new, I'm totally joking, okay? All right? But listen, here's why you're here. If you're at Auburn Grace, even if it's for a season, and you believe God has led you here because God wants you to grow in your relationship with him, and he has strategically put someone else here that's going to help you. And if you will connect to them, you're going to grow. There are Ricks here. There are Eds here. But on the other side of the coin, there's someone else here that is wanting to grow in their relationship with God. And so the Holy Spirit called you here because he wants you to connect with them so that you can serve them so that they can grow in their relationship with God. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit is brilliant enough to do all of this. You know, sometimes people come to Auburn Grace and then they go to another church and I see them at a men's breakfast yesterday and I turn my back, I don't speak to them at all or I know nothing like that. No, why? Because Auburn is a small town. There's a lot of churches. God wants to reach all of us and sometimes he moves us around because he wants something to happen at a different place in a different time. So if you're at Auburn Grace for a while, there's two things going on and the Holy Spirit, man, he's incredibly brilliant enough to say, I'm going to bring you to Auburn Grace because I've placed someone else there that if you'll connect with them, they're going to help you grow. And there's someone else there that's desiring to grow, and I put something inside of you that if you'll connect with them and serve them, they're going to grow. So that's why you're here. That's why you're here. And we take an offering every Sunday too at the same time. Now, as we wrap this up, this passage up, Paul ends this passage talking to people that either are refusing to participate, and then he's going to talk to people that are stopping others from participating and serving. You ready? He says there in verse 14, the body is not one member but many. Verse 15, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? No one can say, you know what, I don't have any big prominent gifts. I just have the gift of service. I don't have the gift of teaching or the gift of leadership or the gift of administration. I just have this mercy, compassion gift. And because I'm not this prominent person, the church doesn't really need me. He says, no, 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 no. The foot can't say to the hand, because I'm not a hand, no one needs me. The Bible clearly tells us that all of us are valued in the church family. We're all equally valued. It doesn't matter whether you're serving the preschool kids one Sunday a month or whether you're leading a huge home group, both gifts are equally valued. Because if we were all teachers, we might offer 150 different classes, but guess what? There's not going to be anybody to sit in them. We need diversity because we're valuable. So don't think, you know what, I don't have anything to contribute. Remember, we've seen this morning, you are gifted. And then the opposite is also true. We can skip down there to verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and on our less presentable members become much more presentable. In other words, you know what? We can't say you are not valuable. We're all necessary in order to make this thing work that God has brilliantly orchestrated while we're here on this planet. So the question is, how do we do this? How do we discover, develop, and deploy your gifting? Let me give you some practical things as we close. Number one, if you're not sure what really we're talking about, you've never heard this thing called spiritual gifts before, you don't know what yours is, we have an event here every 3 months. It's Sunday after church. It's called Connection Sunday. Today is different. It's called Connection Fair. But every 3 months, we have Connection Sunday, and we have a lunch, and then we offer either 3 or 4 workshops. And they last for about an hour and a half, and the workshop that we regularly offer is called Spiritual Gifting. Because we believe that God has put a spiritual gift in you, and you're going to grow by serving, and I'm going to grow because you helped me grow. And so let me encourage you, if you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, if you can't say, oh, it's service or faith or hospitality, whatever it is, if you're not sure, in a couple of weeks we're having a Connection Sunday, let me encourage you to sign up for the workshop called Spiritual Gifting. That's one way. Another way is what we talk about every time at this time of year. We talk about 3 spiritual meals. Our church offers a variety of spiritual meals here. We offer Bible studies and home groups and a variety of places where spiritual food is served. And we kind of look at it like a meal, just like you gather in your family to have a meal together so that you can physically grow. We gather together so that we can spiritually grow. And our motto here is very, very simple. We encourage all of our church people to commit to 3 spiritual meals a week. And each spiritual meal lasts about an hour and a half, so it's about 4.5 hours of being together throughout the week. And we're encouraging every single person to dine at 2 to connect and serve, to connect and grow, and then to serve at 1. Let me explain this a little bit further. One of the spiritual meals we want everybody to engage in faithfully is church service. You're at a spiritual meal right now. We gather together every Sunday morning as a church family to worship and study God's word together. It's a spiritual meal. Let me encourage you to have your family make a commitment this school year to be faithful in coming to church on Sundays, because that's a spiritual meal. But another place to gain food, another place to grow and connect, is to join an ongoing small group. We have lots of small groups here. We have service groups, for example, like the Sewers and Rippers, the gals who make the quilts for children all over the world. We have several service groups. We have study groups. We have men's Bible study. We have women's Bible study. We have Wednesday Night Live and different things. These ongoing small groups where you can connect with people and you can grow. Or maybe a life group. We encourage you, if you're not a part of a life group, if you're not a part of a small group, join a life group. These are fantastic home groups where you can spend some time over a period of a year with people and share your heart, get to know them, connect and grow. So we encourage you, number one and number two, come to church on Sunday and join a small group, whether it's a service group or whether it's a study group or whether it's a life group. But then the third commitment is to join a volunteer team so that you can help someone else connect and grow. And some of our volunteer, I understand schedules. Some of our volunteer teams only need your help once a month for an hour and a half. Some are twice a month. Some are once a week. Some are every quarter. Maybe your commitment this year to serve is to go on one of our mission trips, and that will be your point of service for the year. But join a volunteer team so that you can help someone else connect, grow, and serve. And here's my challenge as we wrap up this morning. You're here in number one, so you're already engaged in number one, church service. What I want to encourage you to do as you leave today and you go out into the courtyard, right outside the door, as Pastor Dave shared, is a round table, and you're going to get this brochure, and this brochure tells you where all the different ministry teams are here at Auburn Grace. And then there's also available this connections booklet that gives you a brief description about all the teams. And these teams that are out in the courtyard are either going to be teams that you want to get involved with that will help you connect and grow. And I want you, if you're not a part of an ongoing small group, go out into the courtyard today and find a small group that you can connect and you can grow with. But then also while you're out there, look for number three. Say, Lord, where would you want me to serve this year? I realize that maybe your service time is limited, so you're going to join a once-a-month team. Or you're going to join a twice-a-month team. Or you're more available and you're going to serve once a week. But there's a lot of great teams out there, and if you join a volunteer team, you can help someone else grow and activate the spiritual gift that is in you. At each of these booths, there is going to be information that you can take home. There's going to be a sign-up sheet right there that you can sign up today if you're ready to sign up. But you can take home some information, pray about it. But let me encourage you, as you go out of the church, as you go out of church today, don't just run off. Go through the booths and say, Lord, where can I connect and grow? And Lord, where can I serve your people? Because if the Holy Spirit is smart enough to bring you to Auburn Grace, remember, he did so for two reasons. Because you have something inside of you that someone else needs to help them grow. And someone else has something inside of them that you need to connect with to help you grow. And so God has brought both of you here. And remember, we're taking gifts and now we're turning them into ministry teams so that we can have an effect in helping you grow. That's our strategy here, following God's path and God's pattern. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, I thank you for Rick in my life who taught me how to walk with you as a young man. I thank you for Ed in my life who taught me how to serve you. And because of Rick and Ed and my connection with them, Lord, I grew. And Lord, I know that there are Ricks and Eds here in our church. And you are also bringing other folks that need to grow, that want to grow. May you connect them. May we see ourselves as servants of others. And Lord, may we grow together this year. May you bless our ministry year. We thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. We know that you have a plan and purpose for our congregation, for us as individuals. May we go out into the courtyard today. May you prick our hearts and our minds to show us where we can connect and grow. And where we can serve. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day today.